God is good. Amen. Praise God. Well, the title the Lord's given me for this morning is Exercising Faith and Love for the Benefit of Your Family. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another day that you've made. We thank you for utterance from the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit, the teacher, preacher, minister through me, but also within each one. For your word says in 1 John 2:20 and 27 that each believer has an unction and anointing from the Holy One that teaches them all things. So beyond the words that come out of my mouth, we thank you for what you're multiplying, manifesting, revealing to each heart. And Father, we know that when you give us revelation, you also give us the impartation to carry out that revelation. So we thank you for your hand and your plan upon each child, woman, and man. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. My opening scripture is 2 Peter 1:3-8. But I think I'm going to jump to I'll read verse 3-4 in the King James, and I'm going to jump to the Amplified after that. So 2 Peter 1:3-4, it says, according as his divine power have given us all things. How many things? So even all the things you need for your family, amen, and your relationships, that pertains, it says, that pertain unto life and godliness. And what? Godliness. Amen? So even godliness in our household, our relationships, etc. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. How great? And precious promises. What kind of promises? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So God's desire is that we all partake of his divine nature. Hallelujah. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then verse 5 in the Amplified Version, verse 5-8. For this very reason, adding your diligence, adding your what? To the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith. Say that with me. Employ every effort in exercising your faith. And it says to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop. Say develop. It says develop steadfastness and patience and endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. What kind of love? Amen. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, I thank God that, you know, my dad's in heaven. He passed November of 2021, age 87. It's 40 days after my Aunt Beulah, his sister, died at age 92. But for most of his life, he didn't serve God. When I was growing up, he called the Navy his savior. How he got all twisted up like that, I don't know. But I just thank God when he had his mid-70s, he'd had a heart attack, and all of a sudden he needed help, or a heart issue. He needed help from his family. And he just humbled himself. And he ended up getting saved, praise God. But before that, I mean, I remember when I was I went off to college, graduated. I was in the U.S. Navy following in my dad's footsteps. He was an engineering major in college, mechanical engineering, master's in ocean engineering, Navy commander. I was following his footsteps to some degree. But after college, I was in the Navy for 4 years, and then I got out. I went to Bible college. And guess who was not happy? And guess who refused to see me and my wife and even meet the babies we had coming to the world during those 7 years? My dear old dad. And so, but the Lord really gave me this assignment. He said, you know, be in faith for your dad's salvation. Be in belief, in faith for his soul. Praise God. I mean, my dad was the type where one of my brothers didn't see him for 10 years, the other 20 years. He wasn't the easiest guy to get along with. And he not only talked behind your back, but he'd tell you to your face. And my mom and him had split up when I was 13. He despised Aunt Vanelle and Aunt Carolyn because they were preachers. And they were very bold. But anyway, he was not the easiest guy to get along with. But the Lord said, I want you to stand for his salvation. I went through a lot of stuff. One time he wrote a 12-page letter about me, sent it certified mail to my wife with the video, and to all my siblings, and to his siblings. And so, like I said, on the flesh it was not easy, but the Lord said, I need you to love him so that, because your faith works by love, Galatians 5:6, and said, yeah, if you're not believing for his whole soul, who is? And maybe there were others out there, but like I said, he had a way of putting people off. But, you know, I had to employ every effort just to be in faith and love for my dad. Galatians 5:6 says our faith works by what? Love. Faith works by love. Going back to 2 Peter 1:5, it says, for this very reason, this is my first point, employ every effort in exercising your faith. Point number one, employ every effort in exercising your faith. Whose faith? 2 Peter 1:5, Amplified Bible, the older version, the classic version. For this very reason, it says, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith. And it goes on to say, to develop virtue. And we'll get to virtue in a little bit. You know, my wife passed away in April of 2016, but I stayed close to her side of the family, and her mom was put on hospice in April of last year. I was here in May of last year, and then in June, she passed away. And 2 weeks before that, an elderly cousin of hers passed away. And the Lord said, your assignment at both those funerals, because I was asked to speak at both the funerals, the elderly cousin in a funeral home, so she didn't even have a church. And then my mother-in-law, who was 91 when she passed, she was in a Baptist church, a good church. But there were challenges with that. For example, to get to the funeral in Houston, Texas, 8.5 hours away, I had to drive. Well, engine light comes up on my car on a Tuesday morning. I'm supposed to be driving Friday morning. I take it into the car dealership. They say, well, $9,500 for engine repairs. Hallelujah. And this was after, what happened was I was in Wisconsin, got home from Wisconsin the night before, engine lights on in my car, you know, flew to Wisconsin and back, engine light in my car, and then so I contacted dealership, said, bring it in first thing in the morning, we'll get to it. Well, at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they finally got to it. So because they told me it was going to be quick, I hadn't eaten breakfast. I wanted to get in there real quick. So I sat there all morning till about mid-afternoon. So I'm tired when I get this news. And the Holy Ghost prompted me and restrained me from, you know, telling them to fix the car. He said, no, you go home, rest, eat, and then I'll show you what to do while you're thinking with a clear mind. And so the Lord gave me direction. He had me contact a friend of mine who goes to Rhema Bible Church. He has two auto mechanic shops in town, and thank God he was able to get the car fixed for $2,300 instead of $9,500. Praise God. It pays to obey God and hear from God. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. Romans 8:14. You know, Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding in all your ways. How many of your ways? Acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Proverbs 3:5-6. And so thank God I did that. And then, but Roy, the owner of those auto repair places, he said, well, it'll probably be Friday before we can get the vehicle back to you. But we'll do our best. And I said, I know you got to drive, you know, Friday, 8.5 hours for the funeral Saturday morning. Thank God he got it done probably about 1 p.m. on Thursday. So that was a breakthrough. Of course, I'm praying, oh, Holy Ghost, expedite things, help his mechanics, you know, in Jesus' name, you know, just praying. And so he got it done. And so I'm about an hour from Houston, Texas, on this 8.5 hour drive. All of a sudden, I get a call that my mother-in-law passed away. So I had that. And her funeral was going to be about 2 weeks later now. So employing every effort in my faith to be at that cousin's funeral. And the Lord said, do not tell the cousin's daughter who asked you to do the funeral. Don't tell her about your vehicle issues, because she's already upset. She's going to panic, and she's going to ask somebody else to officiate. But you have an assignment. You're supposed to be there to preach the gospel. Amen? You know, some people in America, the only time they get to church is weddings and funerals. And so the Lord said, you know, He said, whatever you have to do, employ every effort in your faith to make sure you're there to minister to those souls. Just trust me for the money and all that type of stuff. So I did. And so I did an invitation for Christ, and that funeral home was full. And there were a few believers in there. But at the end of my message, I said, of course, I'm urging people to reflect on their eternity, what's going to happen to you when your credits are rolling. You know, I didn't have that phrase back then, but you feel me, right? Amen. And every voice in the place prayed the sinner's prayer with me. And I noticed a marked change in that cousin and her family. The other ones I didn't know, but the cousin and her family, they're on Facebook, and normally their Facebook post would be, party over here and party over there. Just go ahead and let down your hair, you know, all that kind of stuff. But now their posts are different. They're talking about God. They're posting scriptures. They're talking about praying and all those type of things. Hallelujah. And then 2 weeks later was my mother-in-law's funeral, and we'd already been having some conversation with her side of the family on Facebook through Facebook chat about, you know, is there a will? Is there a final expense policy for the funeral expenses? Is there this? And all, you know, power of attorney, all those things. And we're having those chats every Wednesday afternoon for a month or two. In fact, before I came here in May, the month of April, we were doing a lot of that. And so found out she had a final expense policy, but one of her two twin sons hit somebody with his car while he was intoxicated, so that led to legal issues, and so she cast it out and didn't tell anybody. And the Lord said, the reason I had you dig into that, because I want you to trust me for the money for that. Oh, hallelujah. But, you know, God said, don't look at this as an obstacle. Look at this as an opportunity. He said, her side of the family is going to be very grateful to you when you trust me for this. And their hearts are going to be open to whatever I give you to share with them. Does that make sense to you? Amen. So, you know, my daughter Larissa flew in from Thailand. She's my missionary daughter. She flew in early. And so about for a week and a half, her and I are going to the funeral home every day or every other day, making all the arrangements. You know, trust me, I'd reached out to my side of the family and friends of mine. Of course, I contributed a big chunk, and my missionary daughter did too. After flying, you know, from Thailand, $1,500 round trip ticket, but we got the money all came in. It came down. The funeral was on a Saturday morning. The money came in Friday night, the last of it. But God had it all come in, and so I was able to do that funeral. And you know, the Lord gave me a poem that went with it. It's like, "Will I see you again?" I said, "If there's one thing I know about my mother-in-law that's in her heart right now in heaven is, will I see you again?" I knew her sons weren't walking with the Lord, some other family members. That Baptist church was full, and every voice lifted their voice to ask Jesus into their heart. There were some that were believers already, but I'm talking about there was a lot of lost people there, you know. But employing every effort in your faith for the benefit of your family members and your loved ones. Amen? So 2 Timothy 4:2 reads this way. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, herald and preach the word, keep your sense of urgency, stand by and be at hand and ready. And then catch this, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking, correcting, warning, urging, and encouraging them. Being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Hallelujah. It's just what we got to do. Point number two, employ every effort in exercising Christian love. Employ every effort in exercising Christian love. 2 Peter 1:7 in the Amplified Bible reads this way. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. Yes, other translations for that verse say brotherly love. It's the Greek word Philadelphia, which is talking about a brotherly kind of love. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. What kind of love? You know, Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And when the whole money thing for the funeral was being dealt with, and the Lord said, do not expose the brother-in-law who had got into trouble, and the mother-in-law had to use up, you know, her finances for that. He said, love covers. It doesn't go around just putting people on blast, throwing them under the bus, as we'd say in America. Amen? You're looking to minister to people. And so you want to engender an environment that's going to help them to receive. And so I did that. You know, we were during the Facebook chat things we were having in April, and after I got back, you know, somebody had brought up the idea, well, why don't you do a GoFundMe on Facebook? And it's like, oh, that would be great. But then as soon as I got off the phone, my deceased wife's nephew called me and he said, Uncle so-and-so's upset. I said, what's he upset about? What? And he's the uncle that, the son that lived with my mother-in-law. Said, and he's not the one who got into trouble in the car accident. Said, what's going to make it look like he didn't help take care of his 91-year-old mother's business, you know? And I said, yeah, you're right. And the Lord said, just trust me. Don't do the GoFundMe thing. You just trust me. I'm going to show you how to get the money to come in. Because love covers. Amen? Love does what? Amen. Praise God. You know, God's got you covered too. Amen? Are you grateful? Because none of us are perfect, are we? Amen? And you reap what you sow. Whatsoever man sows, that so he shall also reap. Galatians chapter 6. Praise God. So, you know, hatred stirs up strife, Proverbs 10:12, but love covers how many sins? All sins. Praise God. Proverbs 17:9 again, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:7 says this in the Sparkling Gems from the Greek. 1 Corinthians 3:7 in Sparkling Gems from the Greek reads this way. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. You know, your husbands shouldn't be going around, you know, complaining about their wives or other husbands. Wives shouldn't be going around complaining about their wives' other wives. And parents and all that. Because what love does what? It covers. It doesn't expose. Is that the Bible? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Still glad I'm preaching? Amen. So love protects. 1 Corinthians 13:7, Sparkling Gems from the Greek. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. Amen. Praise God. Verse 4 says love, and Sparkling Gems from the Greek continued. Verse 4, love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. How long? You know, dealing with my dad before he got saved, it was like 3 decades. Some of y'all aren't even that old yet, so that seems like an eternity. But that's how long it was. I counted it up last night before we saw the significant change in his life. But love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. For how long? And God is patient with you for how long? Amen. Praise God. It goes on to say, love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. Praise God. Instead of telling everybody, you need to change for me, bless God. You know, sometimes you need to do some adjusting. We need to do some adjusting. Praise God. I know when my daughter Larissa comes in from Thailand, she's at my house, staying at the house. She doesn't have a car, obviously, when she's there. And so I let her out, use my car. I'll just kind of adjust my schedule to whatever she needs because she's just in town for a short while. And then this past November when she was here, Lana, the founder of the mission, was with her. Larissa, can you take me here? Can you take me there? So Car was even more used, but love bends over backwards. Love bends over backwards for the benefit of others. Amen? Praise God. It says, love is not self-centered or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to skip down some because for time's sake. I'm going to go to verse 5. And it says in the last part of it, love does not deliberately on purpose keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. Hallelujah. Love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. So if you get into a strong discussion with somebody, if you're bringing up all the stuff they did from 1952 and 1982 and 1992 and et cetera, you're keeping some records. Amen? Reading on, verse 7, it says, love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure, as we read earlier. It goes on to say, love always expects and anticipates the best for others and the best, says the best in others and the best for others. Praise God. You know, during the years when I was praying for my two brothers and two sisters to come to Christ, it was challenging. When I left the Navy to go to Rhema, one of my brothers left D.C. where he was a male stripper to go to New York to do that. So he's taking it to another level. You know, big city, the Big Apple, you know. And so it's like, man, God. And the Lord said, don't give up on him. Said, you know, you keep that expectation out there. And I remember when my grandfather died, my mom's dad died. I flew to North Carolina from Oklahoma for the funeral. He flew from D.C. or New York to the funeral. And my mom didn't have room in the house. She was the oldest of 15 kids, big family. So there was no room in the inn, you know. And so she said, well, your brother so-and-so wants you to room with him in a hotel. It's like, him? The Bible school grad and the stripper? And I was like, okay, what is... And he can't wait to see you. Well, he kept me up till 2 or 3 in the morning every night, all 3 nights, question after question about God. He didn't even have an angelic encounter and didn't realize it. And it's like the Lord said, see, I'm working on him. He said, don't give up. Amen? God can save to the uttermost. Amen? And it was a couple years later, and honestly, I thought this was a disaster too. He got his living girlfriend pregnant, but the baby was born, his son was born on my birthday. And I was just like, one, he got it pregnant, and it's on my birthday. I said, what is this all about? But it changed him, and that's when his heart opened to the gospel the biggest, because he realized, I got a responsibility now. So when I was thinking, okay, it can't get any worse, God just flipped the script on that thing just so quick. Amen? So don't give up, you know. Keep anticipating the best for others and the best, you know, in others. Praise the Lord. And he's been a changed man ever since that time. Praise God. Hallelujah. So love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. It goes on to say love never quits, never surrenders, and never gives up. There was a time where all my siblings were so mad at my dad that they got mad at me because I wouldn't hold a grudge against them. But love never gives up. And of course, they all eventually turned around as well. Praise God. All my siblings, both my parents are both in heaven. Two brothers, two sisters are all saved, living for God. Praise God. And at times, all of them have helped me and my missionary daughter in ministry financially. So God's done a wonderful work in their lives. Praise God. Verse 8, love never disappoints, never fails, never lets anyone down. So that's talking about keeping your word. You know, I don't make promises. I don't let anybody pressure me, bully me into making a promise. You know, because I know I have to keep my word. And especially when I travel now and have a website and social media, there's people reaching out to me from different countries all over the world asking for things, and either I'm silent because there's just too many to try to respond to, or I'll tell them I'll pray about it. Unless God says, gives me the go-ahead signal and said, help them or whatever. And, but, you know, my kids, they knew me when I was growing up as a man who kept my word. If I said, I'm going to take you here, buy you this or do that, they're telling all their friends, my daddy's going to. And they did it with confidence because I always kept my word. Amen? Love doesn't let people down. But I wouldn't promise something if I didn't check on the inside first and God was saying, yeah, I want you to do that. Amen? We're supposed to acknowledge God in how many of our ways? Even in our parenting ways, raising our kids, the word we give our kids, they knew my no meant no, they knew my yes meant yes, and even if I said maybe, they'd start boasting to their friends too. I said, I didn't say yes. Well, Dad, most of the time your maybe's a yes too, so amen. But, you know, God wants you to have that much confidence in His word, in His promises. Amen? Praise God. Love forgives. Point number three, love does what? Forgives. Amen? Mark 11, 25 and 26, this is the old version of the Amplified Bible. Mark 11, 25, 26 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything, if you have what? Against anyone. Against who? Well, if it was your bestie friend that you had your heart so wide open to, and then they betrayed you, are they anyone? Amen? That closest of the mostest of the closest of the mostest relative. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Amen? Let it what? It says, let it drop. Then it says, leave it and let it go. Amen? If you have anything against anyone. You know, many times I had to do that to my dad, for my dad. I'd call him on his birthday and Christmas, occasionally some other time. I didn't want to call him because normally I was getting yelled at and I was getting the third degree. I said, how much money are you making? Well, I'm working at Rhema as a housekeeper. I graduated from Rhema and I'm working as a housekeeper. Well, that was not impressive to that man, you know. I'd started off at a top 15 university, and, you know, now I'm doing that. And nothing wrong with doing that. That's what God had me do for several years. But he would lecture me, chew me out. I could hold the phone here and still hear every word very clearly. And what does your wife work? How much money is she making? And, you know, and all these times. He was into fitness, so what's your waist size? And how much do you weigh? And all, I mean, just like, how about your kids? I mean, he's just boom, 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 you know. It wasn't pleasant conversations. But every time I'd finish with those phone calls, I'd just have to let it drop, leave it, and let it go. Amen? And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it and let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. And let them what? But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. I like the New Amplified Version as well. Mark 11, 25, 26. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, drop the issue. Drop the what? And let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. So, on the one hand, you have God has your issues in his hand, and you're holding somebody else's issues in your hand. As long as you're holding on to theirs, God has to hold on to yours. But once you let theirs drop, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I just pray for mercy on them. Father, help them, etc., etc. Then God can drop your issues. Amen? Of course, a lot of us can repeat the Lord's Prayer, and what are we supposed to do? Forgive those who trespass against us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we want to let it drop, let it go, leave it. It said, leave it. Say, this is the issue. But I need to explain to them how they hurt me so they don't hurt somebody else that same way. What does leave it mean? Does it mean rationalize in your flesh to hold on to it? No, leave it. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, leave it. Put your hands up and say, leave it. Leave it alone. Surrender to God. Amen. Praise God. The scriptures we looked at also talked about the word virtue. In 2 Peter 1:5, this is point number 4. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And one of the meanings of the word virtue is self-control or temperance. And, you know, during those conversations with my dad, you know, there were times my flesh wanted to say something back. But the Bible tells us, you know, that we have to be careful about our words. Amen? For example, James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved, this is the King James Version, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved, it says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen? But often, not you, but some other Christians, they'll have that all reverse. The New Living says, human anger, then it goes on to say for verse 20, human anger, this is the New Living Translation, human anger, New Living Translation, verse 20, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. The Amplified Bible says, for the this resentful, deep-seated anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us. So God has a standard. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we want to make sure we're careful with our words. You know, Proverbs 14:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it will flow the issues of life. And so the Lord was saying, guard your heart. Every time you get on the phone with your dad or some other correspondence communication, if you visit him, guard your heart. Don't let the wrong things get in your heart. And don't allow those things to abound in your heart, become an abundance, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Amen? Matthew 12:34, Proverbs 4:23 again. Proverbs 13:3 says this, and the reason I have these scriptures here is because at 3 in the morning, the Lord woke me up and quickened me. He gave me this very vivid dream to just caution and warn some people about your words. So the enemy's going to try to set you up to say some things. They're going to just set things back, way back. So do not give in to that. Amen? Proverbs 13:3 in the New King James Version says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. How many want destruction? And in that dream, it was just very vivid, just the destruction that took place because somebody opened their big mouth and said big wrong things. Proverbs 12:8 in the Amplified Bible reads like this. Proverbs 12:8 in the Amplified said, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. What are our tongues bringing? You know, destruction, harm, or healing? Amen? Colossians 4:5 says this, and this is the English Standard Version, Colossians 4:5, the ESV. It says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious. How often should your speech be gracious? Season with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And so, would that include even your family members? Amen? That always be gracious, always season with salt. Even if you have to give somebody instruction or correction, there's a tone you can use that's going to minister instead of destroy and damage and tear down. Amen? We just got to be careful that we're not speaking out of frustration. If you have to go back and compose yourself first, I mean, some things need to be addressed, but just make sure you're not doing it from a place of, you know, venom, where you want to hurt them. Does that make sense to you? Proverbs 15:1 says, Proverbs 15:1, New King James Version, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. So when I'd be on the phone with my dad, and he'd say this and this and that, where the Lord would move on my heart to say something, I'd say it in a soft tone. And sometimes I just keep silent and not respond at all, just let him have his say, vent all of what he wanted to vent. But sometimes the Lord would release me to say some things, but I was careful to do it as a soft answer, regardless of how he came at me. Proverbs 13:26 says this, Proverbs Proverbs 31:26, New Living Translation says, when she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She gives instruction with what? The Amplified Bible reads this way. This is the New Amplified Version. It says, she opens her mouth in a skillful and godly wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction. Praise God. Amen. That's a virtue to aspire to. So number four, we're talking about virtue. You know, within virtue is also honor. Praise God. And in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So it said, obey your parents. But of course, we know that as you get older, you have to make your own decisions. And was it Peter and the other apostles? They were brought before the high council, and they said, we'd rather obey God than man. And I got to a place where God's plans, my heavenly father's plans for my life, my earthly father's plans for my life, they did not match. Who did I have to obey? Who should I obey? If I did not do that, I would not be here before you, probably. I might not even be alive because of living a long, disobedient life. But I chose to obey God, and therefore I'm standing before you to encourage you in the Word. Are you glad? Amen? Praise God. But it says honor. And even during those years when I was dealing with all the difficult side of my dad, I never disrespected him. And during those years, my wife and I, we refused to say an ill word about my dad to my children who they had not met yet. And my girl, when they finally met them, they were like 4 and 6 and 8. And when they saw him, he came to our house for the first time after that 7-year, separation. They were just all snuggled up on him in the couch and, Papa, are you going to read us a Bible story when we go to bed? Papa, would you pray for us? Are you going to say grace over the meal? This is even in public restaurants. And every time they, with stars in their eyes and affection and love and innocence, it just melted him. It just cut him to the heart. Praise God. Because we chose to go the way of honor with my dad in spite of him being very dishonorable in some ways towards us. My honor towards anybody shouldn't be dependent on whether they honor me or not. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men. How many people? So I strive to treat everybody with respect. Amen? In fact, when I was a teenager, my dad would, he'd just bombard me with all this negative stuff about my mom during that time. And I'd come home and I have an attitude. I'm all worked up, and everything because all these things he said, and it was his fault for the divorce, and I won't go into all that, but boy, he sure waged a powerful campaign on an impressionable teenage mind. And then by the time I got into college, I began to really see everything for what it was. And then I was mad at him a lot, and then my mom would say, he's still your father, treat him with respect. Now, my dad had cheated on my mom. He was a player, as they'd say today. Women after women after women. I got extra siblings out there. Might even have some overseas because he was in the Navy. Who knows? But I say, but Mom, all this stuff. I'm young. I'm a high schooler and then a college kid. I get saved in college. Mom, do you know what he did and what he said and all those things? And excuse me. Got a little choked up there. No, just kidding. But anyway. She said, he's still your father. Treat him with respect. And so what she was doing was she was protecting us. Because the Bible says here, if we'll do that, it says we'll live a long life and things will go well for us. And all my siblings are still alive and they're doing well. Amen? Hallelujah. Last real quick thought I want to give you here is, sometimes God wants us refreshed. He wants our relationships refreshed as well. And the Bible says in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. It said times. So it's not just when you get saved that God wants you refreshed, but we have seasons, moments in our life where we need refreshing. And God wants us refreshed and he wants our relationships refreshed as well. Praise God. In Psalm 92:10, the Bible says God will anoint us with fresh oil. Praise God. Would you stand with me real quick? I want to pray a prayer of refreshing. We'll pray a prayer of refreshing together. How many want some refreshing in your life? You know, Psalm 23:5 says, you know, that you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. And that word anoint in the Hebrew means to remove the ashes. God wants to remove the ashes. God wants you refreshed. So if you would, just say this with me. Say, my Heavenly Father, I repent of whatever I need to repent of, so that times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord may manifest in my life now, but even beyond now. So, Father, I open myself for times of refreshing, and by faith I receive that refreshing. Now, if you speak in tongues, let's go ahead and speak in tongues for a moment. If you don't, just begin to praise God. He inhabits our praises, and in His presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, sekabia si kobia shin dabia si kebe. Andabia su kobia shi kebia si kebe. Ndabia si kobia shin dabe. Times of refreshing, receive His blessing to restore you from all the trouble and testing. Times of refreshing, receive it now, as His precious child, so loved, so tender and mild. Times of refreshing, times of refreshing. You may be